Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Ad Hominem Attack Show. This is Chris Paul here with Jeremy Shear.
That's me.
Kyle Honhorst.
What's up?
Tabitha Jones.
Hey.
I saved Tabitha Love for last because she's cringing / giggling at my intro energy. It just came out of nowhere, right?
I couldn't clock it because it wasn't like all the way.
Hey, listen, I'm a goddamn professional. Join us January 18th at Hatfield's Good Grub in West Park for the Ad Hominem Attack Show. Final four of the tournament, guys.
New venue, so we don't have to suck the fire marshal's dick anymore.
Yeah. There will be 95% less dick sucking in my future.
Man, that's a shame, Chris.
And there's still 5% dicks, and, you know, his percentage, that's still a lot of dicks, but
this
95%
is one,
less.
It's just one giant one.
I just, you know,
not the same one. Not the same one. Storm. It's not like gross, like a committed gay thing.
No, I was going to say something nice about the fire marshal, about all of the blowjobs that he provided us the opportunities to give over the last half of 2019.
The opportunities, yes.
Yeah.
It's always nice to know that it's just kind of hanging there if you're so inclined.
It's nice now I'm allowed to barbecue in my house now. He doesn't give a shit.
Did you put a sky roof in? Skylight?
No, just turn on a fan and put it in the window. Making ribs in the living room. Sweet, it's cold out, dude. I still love ribs, though.
Is that what you do?
No, fucking stupid. I know. I barbecue in my house.
I don't know. Look at you. You might barbecue in your living room.
Yeah, you look exactly like the type of man who's like, nah, I'm not going outside. Fuck that shit.
No, I'll barbecue outside. I'll brave the elements for some delicious smoked ribs.
Yeah, you're right there by the heat anyways. Yeah.
I mean, they have a cardboard box electric smoker that you can make online. The Alton Brown's been talking about it for years, so I'm sure you could actually smoke stuff in your living
room. Sounds like two things I want to combine, heat and cardboard.
I thought, you know, Jared's just like, yeah, there's a cardboard cooker that you can build online, and if you mail it to the right people, it gets you in the news.
Yeah, it's like a dark web.
You know, it's a bomb, Jeremy. That's a fucking bomb.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going to figure out a way to make a bomb out of cardboard.
And lucky, if you're Jeremy, it also doubles as a soapbox for you to stand on and just shout about your bomb making. Jeremy Shear, always up to some kind of bombing.
Ooh, get him, queen.
Hey, you got
drag him.
How was your show the other night?
That show over by the Cleveland Clinic ER.
I didn't know that's how we were classifying it.
I'm glad they're putting comedy over there when I'm in there for heart surgery.
I'm sorry to interrupt you guys. I had one more plug. That show over by the ER, starring Jeremy Shear.
It was the place was called Doc and Lenny's, but they had like a party room above the restaurant,
filled with doctors and nurses. And
there were nurses there, because a couple of them wouldn't shut up. But
sounds about right.
Well, it was
nurses are bitches.
The guy that went before me did some light crowd work, and you know, one of the side effects of that is that now they think they can talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they were fine until he did that. Which it is what it is. Like I was really sick, so I did not want to be there, but I couldn't. Like Nick had a podcast to do, so. you know, I didn't really feel like calling around to see if anybody wanted to take it, so I just went. And there was no stage. There were people behind me and people in front of me, but they had a nice little buffet set up downstairs with some fish balls and some chicken wings and some meatballs and
all kinds of balls. What the fuck is a fish ball?
What kind of spheres did they have?
I wish we could pay Paul, the producer, enough to put Stuck in the Middle with Sheer in the background.
It was Bruton was pretty good, and the rest of the show was a show. But the crowd seemed to have a good time. I dipped like right after my set because I was like feeling awful. So
as one does when performing. Nurses
to the left of me.
Yeah, it was
fish balls to the right.
I wasn't going to eat until I found out that the owner of the establishment was the one doing the cooking, and I was like, okay, well, it would be rude if I didn't eat, so I got a small little bowl.
Interview comic to the right. Bullshit, stuck bullshit. In the middle of Sheer.
Bullshit.
No, I was really sick, dude. It was, I missed, like, 4 days of work last week.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Yeah.
Did you shit the bed on stage?
I did not shit the bed on stage. I was not good, but, like, nobody was mad about my performance.
Did you shit the bed at home? What kind of sick was it?
Just a real bad cold.
Ah. It's been going around.
Yeah, yeah, a bunch of people at work were sick, and I think I got it from somebody that I work with, not at work, like either a sad boy or a fellow podcaster.
Yeah, I went out and did an open mic for the first time in like 6 months and immediately got sick. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, that's what I get.
Yeah. We can't like go and wipe off the mic like before we get up there every time because it looks weird.
You should.
Riveting stuff. Riveting stuff.
I just remember that every time
we're warming up, Kyle.
Every time Hot Carl went up for a while, Lawhead would take a wipe and wipe down the mic.
Yeah.
But
like preemptively ahead of him, like no, his handler
after him.
Host.
After him.
I want to get far enough in comedy to have a guy that just goes up and wipes the mic like before I go up and in front of the crowd. Like, to make a whole big, like, just to, you know.
You have to have the mic blessed for you? Is that what you want to happen?
No, I need a crony, I think. That's what I...
A sidekick?
Yeah, no, like a...
A henchman?
Yeah, like yeah, kind of like
young
that.
A boy to influence?
But like one that, no, like
a Brett Thomas?
You thought you had them.
Indiscriminate on age. Just like a goon, like an ex-cop that just like does all my shit.
You want a Club Soda Kenny, is what
a
you're
Club
saying.
A Club Soda Kenny? Yeah, I think one of the Opie and Anthony people had an ex-cop that just, you know, handles the shit.
Why an ex-cop? What did they do to not be a cop
so
anymore?
So it, like, doubles as security, but also, like, a dude that goes and pays my tickets or gets
but
rid
like,
of them.
But why aren't
or,
they a cop anymore?
Because they're shady.
Oh, okay. I can get
they
behind
have to
that.
Be, this person has to be shady.
Okay.
Like, to do the shady shit that I can't. But also is, like, you know, you did a good job, Mr. Paul.
Well, the application's out there now. You just spoke it into existence. We'll see what kind of responses we get.
You know who's not going to be impressed by this segue? Columbus comedian Nick Glasser. Our first call-in guest.
Yes, our first call-in guest. Hey, Nick, we're on the phone now with Nick.
Such an underwhelming segue, honestly.
I mean, that's pretty much what I do. I underwhelm at every opportunity because
Real quick, Nick is on the phone with us this week because he's also one of the final four in the upcoming roast battles. Nick drove here to insult people from 3 hours away because he's just that big of a piece of shit.
It's true.
And it worked out well for him.
Yes. He may be taking the Cleveland Roast Battle Belt back to Columbus.
Right.
We haven't really worked out
what's going to happen.
I arrested everybody in Columbus, so I have to go to extenuating cities now to find further targets for residents.
Yeah, you've destroyed everyone there.
I'm actually the only person left. It's nothing but a wasteland anymore.
Of all...
by default.
There's just... one thing Columbus has in an abundance as a comedy scene is self-esteem. I've always said that. And you ruined it all.
We are the best at being the best. What else can there be? Just to be said. Honestly, I don't know.
So basically, you hurt everybody's feelings and they quit writing jokes, so you guys don't have a roast show anymore? Is that what's going on?
It got boring just seeing me win every single time.
So.
The fans got time to buy and take his forward. It's imagine like if Superman were real and then he played for the Patriots. It was kind of like that.
from the one show that I saw you on there, actually it might have been two, it's fairly accurate because you were leaps and bounds above everybody else on the show, and it was honestly like I felt really bad about being part of it for a split second. So is it just is there no one else there that is just interested in writing mean jokes, or
it's kind of you to say that there are other roasting talents here in town. I've lost a head-up roast against Aaron Tate back before the actual roast battles done by Glass Cannon, I've roasted most everybody else. Matt Loxley was a champion for a while after I retired. Hey, Berkey's pretty good at writing jokes. He writes a lot of, he ghost writes a lot of jokes for a lot of other people who have done successful. There's a lot of, talented people here in town, but I'm trying to think of any other names that deserve to be brought up in there.
Tell Ty Moore if he doesn't start coming up and roasting in these shows, he's a fucking pussy and a disgrace to Lima, Ohio. Because I know where he's from, and it's nothing but ball busting and white trash and fucking meatheads. I went to school with him.
Are you kidding me? It's the home of BK Irons.
Oh, shit. Keep it 100, Chris. I'm surprised you even know that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please don't hit me.
I don't know if any of you guys would know RJ Kramer. He's a guy from Glass Cannon, the guys who used to run the roast battles here. And I think he'd be a fantastic guest for your show. He's a real funny guy. Very good roaster.
RJ Kramer? No, I'm
not. RJ Kramer.
Kramer.
Okay. There was a guy that was from around here a long time ago named Jake Kramer, and he spelled his name Kramer. So that's why I got confused for a second. We'll see. We're always looking for somebody that's going to surprise us with how good they are, because that's more fun than somebody eating shit.
Yeah, we kind of knew you were going to be good, so we've expected you to be here. Maybe. Yeah. You're undefeated in Columbus, like, right? You're undefeated, correct?
In official roast battles, yes.
Fuck.
I would say we definitely should get Dave Berkey. Dave Berkey is very funny.
He would excel in this format for sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you win the belt, I mean, it's only going to be fair that we bring the show to Columbus once.
Of course.
We got to go down there and win our fucking belt back on your turf. Like, it's going to be, frankly, embarrassing.
Well, I hope to embarrass you in such a way.
Well, it won't be embarrassing to me because I didn't fucking lose to you, but it'll be embarrassing for Logan and Phil and or Adam.
Fair.
But I don't think they'll lose. I think you'll probably lose in the first round because
you've
had a fucking bunch of jobbers up to this point.
That's the thing, Nick. You have to stay undefeated if you win this. I will be pretty salty if you lose it to if you take the Cleveland title and lose it to
some Columbus idiot.
Pretty confident you'll beat everybody in Columbus again, still. I mean, come on.
I mean, I have beaten, in one way or another, everybody that I've said kind things about tonight. So, am I undefeatable? Who knows? I don't think so. But it's yet to be. Who's got the chops for it?
You ready for Logan? He's a, what, two-time champion for us.
Logan, who...
I really look forward to getting a challenge like that, actually.
Here's the... Can I be real honest about Logan right now? He got a bye week. He's the only one not doing the podcast. Not saying I'm not gonna pick him if he does.
You
better.
Can't be no. Fuck that. You can't. Don't be biased. We don't want anybody winning on no cheating shit.
I wasn't gonna say being biased, but just saying expected him to maybe come in a tiny bit rusty, just a little bit.
And also, I'm gonna myself write at least 3 roast jokes. Gonna tear into Logan
three.
Myself.
Three.
At least three.
Really stretching your limbs there.
Yeah.
It does put me in kind of an interesting position, though, just because, you know, like, I really haven't got to see what he can do beyond just, you know, the very shallow tip of it, so.
Well, that's all he has.
It also makes him mysterious. Mysterious Logan.
Mysterious Logan with his shallow tip.
What can we tell him about Logan? I've battled Logan a couple times. I know some stuff about him.
Oh, yeah, give me the dirt.
Yeah, because, you know, he's not doing the podcast, so we can't really interview him, so it's not fair. In high school, his girlfriend faked 2 pregnancies and 2 abortions, which is a fun fact. He was in a band. You can look it up. It's on Bandcamp, called Logan in the Feels. And it's a pop punk emo. Have you guys given that a listen yet? I'm sure you loved it.
It's really bad.
Was it? See, I don't even know. I didn't listen to that. So, like, I was like, oh, this is fucking good. My wife was like, in high school, I wouldn't suck his dick, but.
I feel like that's not even worth looking up for, like, material.
Honestly, like, for Logan's backing vocals, it's worth it. Because I don't think he was the lead vocalist, because there's someone else that's just vocals. There's no bassist. It's a drummer. Logan plays guitar and sings backup vocals. And then there's...
No, it said vocals, Logan Rashaw.
What is he? It's the guitar really white stripes.
Oh. We're dragging him.
Logan Rashaw, guitars, vocals. Nico Minnesola, drums. Jared Borgenal, vocals.
Maybe someone just stands in the back and sings. I don't know.
It's the lineup to 5-Finger Dick Suck.
It's really terrible. If you like emo at all, like, you'll recognize some parts of it that they're trying to do.
His influences.
But it's, you know, the whole, like, poetry masquerading as singing that's actually spoken word.
Logan's a big emo boy. That's all there is.
Maybe you could say something about something like Logan strikes me as the type of guy who was probably a cutter, but he's not as tough as a teenage girl.
Maybe he could say something like that.
Does he want to fucking lose?
As tough as a teammate. All right, I got that written down. I mean, any other tips for me to beat Logan with?
Yeah. Yeah, or something. I mean, play...
4 more.
I admit, the wording could do better.
You know, for Adam and Phil, you got to write the 3-round jokes, too. I don't want to have you come in there and stumble.
I know that I have to prepare for potentially roasting everybody. Are you saying that the format changes in the finals?
Yes. It'll be the, 5 jokes, tit for tat, and then, what, 45 or a minute? We send it out in
text,
everybody.
It's a minute each.
Minute.
And then a minute each, second round, and then one last joke for the 3rd round.
Oh, right. Yeah, I can do that.
All right, cool. Just want to make sure you're prepared. We'll send out a reminder, but...
The other thing that is different about this show is we are bringing in from the Roast War Championships, Brad Riegler, who
this is very exciting.
Yeah, he runs a touring roast show called Roast War Championships, and he is going to be booking the winner
of the tournament in Indy.
Hell yeah.
At, I think it's Crackers that he said it was at.
I talked to a couple of the Indy guys just to, like, feel out this guy, and they said the show was awesome. They had a great time. So, yeah, it should be fun. If you win, you get to go on this show, and I'll probably touch them to try to get a spot myself.
Oh, yeah.
This is not the same guy when – I'm sorry, Nick, go ahead.
So Indy would be a great spot for a road show. I've done some stand-up there. I've never done any roasting in Indianapolis, but the people that I know out there, I feel like they'd be great at it.
This is a different city than where
– We did Fort Wayne.
We did Fort Wayne.
And that was that was a different crop of comics.
Yeah, we ran into an alt-right altercation.
Yeah.
Yikes.
An alt-right-ication.
Yeah, I was trying altercation, but you have to. I got the head to get
it was
the words
first,
backwards
it
to
was,
do it.
It was the first show where
I was almost there, but not quite. I appreciate the
effort. Any pun where you have to change the entire wording of what you're trying to say to get to is not worth the time we just burned. Nick, so we were talking earlier, and I'm looking for a goon or like a lackey.
Sure.
But that's like, you know, kind of is security, but also does my taxes and shit like that.
I hope you're not talking about me. I don't know taxes for shit.
Okay, well, I got a Jew right here.
I'm not a taxes Jew. I'm not a jewelry Jew. I know where to get the best salted meats Jew.
Oh, that's the best kind.
Where do I get the best salted meats?
Slimans, buddy.
Okay, well, you're both hired, and I will just continue not doing my taxes.
Slimans, and then actually, like, over by my place in Ohio City, there is a gas station that has amazing corned beef.
Ooh. Gas station corned beef.
I just had a Reuben sandwich tonight. I went with turkey though, because I don't know where to get the good corned beef.
It's Cleveland has the best corned beef in Cleveland is either at Slimans or at a gas station.
Ontario Street Cafe downtown. Right across from the casino.
Are they still open?
I don't know if they've closed, but it was dope, dude. You walk in there like shot in a beer for like $4.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
And I thought we lost beef. Kyle for a second, and then I realized we were talking about food, and I was like, he'll come to life any second.
all joking, Jeremy, I'm going to have you show me where to get that corned beef while I'm up in Cleveland, because that is relevant to my interests.
All right, yeah, we'll go over there. I haven't been there since I did a show with Devin and Jordan a long time ago. But
we going on a corned beef run?
Oh, yeah, we're going on a corned beef. It's right over by fucking where, by Old Fashioned. It's like a block away from Old Fashioned.
Oh, okay.
That gas station right there.
Oh,
it's got the good
man.
Corned beef.
Okay, yeah, let me know. Let me know when you guys end up going.
Yeah. It's
I've been breaking for about a year. And I just recently mastered a rye bread, or at least the rye that I like. And so some corned beef can get just right.
Excellent.
What the fuck's going on with the audio? You calling from a walkie-talkie, dude? I got the new iPhone with the 3 cameras. I don't think it's me, but...
I'm on iPhone 10 right now.
Oh, shit. Sick, bro. So, what's your deal? Like, we don't know anything about you. We all of our roasters kind of know each other. Like, I assumed you were molested as a kid, but I don't know that for sure. Tell us a little bit about Nick.
Well, I'm a molester, and what else is there to say, honestly?
Nick, when we talked about Nick before, I mentioned that you've been running the Shrunken Head open mic there for... about 6 years, 7 years, 8 years.
Yep.
And that's a show that there were 6 people a week previously, and then when you started running it, it got to the point where there's a cap on the sign up list, which was new for Columbus.
So we still have 30 comics a week coming out. Every once in a while, this last Monday, we actually had 40 people come up, so we just did a four-minute sets, and I did a truncated intro-outro in between all of them while we got 40 people on in 3 hours. It's a good problem to have, but we just get a ton of comments coming out every Monday night now.
You don't ever think about killing yourself?
Not in the least.
Wow, it's good for you. You're strong mentally, man. At 40 comics, I'd be drained. I'd quit.
I mean, I get paid to do it.
Oh, fair, but
it's the best job I've ever had, though. I mean, like, I'm not making, you know, good money for what it is that I'm doing, but I'm in a comedy show. I'm hanging out with, you know, a lot of my best friends that I'm allowed to drink. I'm sitting down. I'm watching a show. I'm in charge. I can tell people what to do. It's a good time. And the community around the show has really got things figured out. They really kind of have their own thing to the point that it's almost turnkey for me. There's very little that I have to do outside of the actual show itself. And it's a very fun thing. And I'm very glad to be in a position to still be able to do it.
Wow, that was very nice. I'm assuming it's that's the Columbus, like, LVT then.
It's
except you don't have to punch people from time to time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure it has happened, but
there's some bad sides to it. I mean, there's always, you know, some bad eggs in there, but for the most part, it's a very positive thing. You know, I've only had to ban one person from the show. There have been people that other people have asked me to ban, and I've chosen not to because I don't make shit from his own people.
Good stuff.
He's gone.
It's gonna be terrible content for your roast podcast.
Well, don't worry. The phone's cutting in and out, so it doesn't matter what you're talking about. You can be as nice as you want right now.
You can say whatever.
Cool.
So it does. It sounds like. Good job to have as far as open mics go, but that's also because you've just been running it well for a long time.
Yeah, I gotta figure it out.
It is the vast amount of comics that come through does give like there's a lot of weird shit that will happen, but for the most part, it's a very the crowd there for an open mic is usually listening and engaged in the show and shit like that. It's a good one to go to.
It's the best open mic in the world for sure.
Well, I went. Did Scarlet and Gray's not there anymore? Is it?
No, that's actually they've changed the bar. They've rebranded it. It's, I think, Threes now. It's a bar called Twos.
Yeah. It's the new. It's the Threes now. Yeah, because I went to Ohio State, so I'm pretty familiar with the area. I went down to an open mic at Scarlet and Gray. I was like, hey, I'm from Cleveland. Can I go up early? And then, like, they put me on, like 1 a.m. So I was like, fuck this. I don't even know who was running it, but I was like, I'm never fucking coming back.
The Scarlet and Gray at the time is basically now it's the same thing, but it's a Bossy Girl now. It's like the same... People started, moved it over there at some point.
It's different. It's Gilly's hosting that now. But yes, it essentially, that is the way that it happened. The show moved over to Bossy Girl. And then it's evolved since then.
How does it, how does an open mic evolve?
Well, I mean, like I always talk about, is like Mark Lucas was hosting over at Scarlet and Gray. And eventually he opened the show over at Bossy Girl. He hosted that for a good long time, but now he's out traveling the world and having his adventures. So it's a different host there. And, you know, with a different host, you know, Gilly's been hosting it a couple of years, so things change, you know, different intentions, different psychologies going into this. Gilly runs the show a little bit different, and the show evolves.
Very much. I think everywhere, each... open mic kind of has its own scene around it.
Yeah. there's a number of people, comics and audience, bartenders and everybody's involved with the show, who are only involved with like this one open mic. They don't really participate in the rest of the scene, even just the local Columbus scene. And so to them, you know, this Bossy Girl show, that is comedy. And those are the people who give each show, you know, their own little intricacies, their little weirdsies and shit.
Yeah. That's we had that at the Eurogyro in Kent for a while with the weirdo musicians that we got, because it was a mixed mic that we kind of stole. Like, I miss going there and seeing John Dubs, the rapper, who was a terrible rapper, but he made his own beats and he tried real hard. And I would walk in every week and hear him doing his staccato nonsense and feel like all was right in the world for at least the next few minutes. But yeah, I get what you're saying about like the various weirdos that kind of make it different than any other show.
A question for you, Nick. Adam Janovac was in the military, and we were talking to him, and he masturbated in a foxhole. Where's the weirdest place you ever masturbated at?
A shrunken head open mic.
Jeez.
He turned around while the other guy was watching. He was going to fall asleep, so he was watching the hole. He thought he was going to fall asleep while his buddy was sleeping, and he just rubbed one out in a hole watching for terrorists.
That's what he said, but I think it was like a back-to-back situation, probably.
Yeah, he was leaned up against him, and they just, you know, just don't lock eyes, don't talk, and then just both of them.
That's why those guys are always really so close in the military, and when they say, man, I've seen some shit, what they mean is they've been masturbating back-to-back in the desert for 6 months.
When you put it that way, like, I'm ready to go to Iran.
Please go.
Yes,
please go.
The military.
That'd be a great way to die. You know, like, I'm going to die of, like, a heart attack or diabetes. I'll just go over there and get shot immediately and be a hero.
Like 50 Cent and shit.
For Trump's fucking oil rule.
I'm going to come or die trying.
So, anyways.
The danger fetish.
Let's not get off topic. Where's the weirdest place you ever masturbated?
Back in college, there was I don't even know how weird this is going to be.
A Burger King?
It wasn't a Burger King. It was back in college, like before I had a smartphone, so back like using your imagination is still a thing that happens. And I was just like on a road trip, and it was just like really boring through Kansas. It was just like wild driving on the fucking highway.
I've done it.
Yeah, so have I.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it on the way home.
I didn't have
it. Kyle, you're taking Chris home.
Yeah, that's fine. I planned on it.
The trick is to, you know, just find like a lane that you can just like hang out in. You know, not have to make a whole bunch of turns and, you know, change your mind and shit.
You just like get in the right lane and just sit next to a truck driver and just let him watch.
Cruise control is clutch.
I've done it, and I was in a little two-door Chevy Cavalier, which is basically on the ground. Like, you're pretty much sitting on the ground. I had to pull my coat over myself every time an SUV went by.
It was rush hour traffic downtown Columbus.
A little pro tip from the master here, Chris, just turn off the dome light next time.
But then I can't see it.
You don't have to see it for it to work, trust me, I know.
You haven't seen Chris's.
I haven't seen mine, is what I'm saying.
Can you see yours?
No, I can't. I mean, a mirror, fair. But...
That's right, mirrors do exist, huh?
Yeah.
I tend to avoid them as often as I can.
Smart.
Didn't use the dome light, silly. I was hanging out of the sunroof.
Who's your favorite Cleveland roaster you've seen so far? Like, because you don't know any of these people, but you've watched all the shows.
I like Adam Janowiak.
He's been
well, whatever. He pronounces it.
Whatever.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Fuck him. Yeah, good. Yeah, he's been fun.
I like Chris Bauja. He's fun.
Pauja.
Chris who?
Pauja.
That's me.
Chris Paw.
Oh, I'm stupid.
You made a pronunciation / spelling joke with someone that went to the Ohio State University. It's not going to work.
Hey, thank you for including the.
Dang.
The Ohio State.
How much do you hate Ohio State?
I don't hate Ohio State.
Well, I mean, being down there trying to run comedy and then there's Saturdays in the fall, like, that's got to be obnoxious.
I mean, I work at a concert hall that's right across the street, so I've been dealing with college kids.
Oh, Newport.
20 years now. Yeah.
Ryan Cabrera was there one time, and we got him to go back and smoke weed, and then we were out back in the alley there because we lived on 12th. There's an alley that runs parallel to 12th that runs into the back door. And who was he dating? Yeah, Jessica Simpson's dad was his manager at the time. He came out and started yelling at us and threatened to call the police on us because he was underage. And we were like, so are we, motherfucker. You're the supervisor right now. And then he just got in his truck and left and banged his daughter. So, fun story. But
the good old Newport. They had a lot of great bands there 30 years ago.
So we're going to be able to do ad hom if you win at Newport?
Probably not.
We'll be able to fill it?
Oh,
if you can fill it, sure.
Run it by them.
Just raise that up the flagpole.
I don't know what the name of the bar is there, but I used to, when I first emceed stuff, I used to emcee for, it was Panini's. I don't know what it's called now, but the first thing I ever did on stage was what?
Big Bar. It's the one that's right there. I've connected to the Big Bar, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta like walk up the stairs.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever started doing stuff. I was just emceeing events for them. I was a sexy man in college.
When was that?
Oh, 6?
Wait a minute. Are we doing a hot hon horse thing now?
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
Hot hon horse was
a sexy college boy.
Yes.
Nick, have you heard, I don't know if we talked about it any, like, at the show last time. Jeremy claims that he was once hot. And we've been debating over whether hot cheer actually ever existed
hot
for
cheer.
Months now.
It's not real.
Are you asking me to weigh on this?
Yes, weigh in. As a Sasquatch who technically shouldn't exist, do you think that hot cheer ever existed?
I'm definitely going to say that possibility, like the plausibility of a hot cheer is fully on the table. Whether or not it did exist in our reality, I can't say.
A quantum thing, like coast to coast.
One thing I'm unclear on, I want to ask, is Jeremy himself says that it was true?
Yes.
I'm gonna trust Jeremy on this. I'm saying that hot cheer was a thing.
It was a very short time period, and
it was at the most, when you say a very short time period, you mean between 12 and 12:15, like January 9th in 1990 something?
No, in the late 90s would not have been it, because
I get it, early 80s, and it was a priest who told you this.
Okay, I'm gonna just nip all these priest jokes in the bud, like, right now, because I'm a Jew. Like, why are you making priest jokes at a Jew?
Lutheran.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Unitarian.
Unitarians don't have also priests, they have ministers, and I'm not, like, out there with it because it's a bad look for a roast battler to be a Unitarian.
Fine, jumping through loopholes. Typical.
Chris, just
a holy man.
Just make a joke about the Moyle thinking he was hot, Chris. There you go.
Yeah, see, look, fine. Nick knows how to write a goddamn joke with information that's readily available to him.
Fine, a Jew priest.
Oh, we hate improvising.
Isn't today one of your Jew holidays?
No, today is not a Jew holiday. Well, it's, you know, if it was, if I celebrated the Jew holiday that happens every Friday, I wouldn't be doing this show. I wouldn't be doing this show.
How's the oil for Hanukkah? Good? It lasted again?
Yeah, it lasted again. I still haven't cleaned off my menorah.
Good. So, it's gone strong.
Yeah. It's, looks like I, ugh. I don't know. I don't like how burned wax looks. It looks like cum. So it just looks like I've got like a cum-covered metal piece on my kitchen table, and it's gross.
Can I tell you guys how happy I am that we're having this conversation on my episode of your podcast? This is just perfect.
Very highbrow stuff.
I did find out a couple years ago that I do kick ass at strip dreidel. Pretty damn good at that shit.
Strip dreidel. So, that must not last very long, though, because as soon as...
No.
Yeah. This is like, it's half, all, or none.
Yep.
Hot Jeremy was also very good at strip dreidel.
No, when I was playing dreidel, there was nobody that I wanted to strip around.
But we're forced to... By a holy man.
All right. I got a question for you, Nick. It's not going to be about masturbation this time. Columbus, it always blows my mind that you guys have one comedy club in that giant fucking city where we have basically three up here. Like, do you like that aspect of it because it gives you a chance to run your own shit, or do you like wish there was a regular club so you can come out and work more? Because, I mean, there's only so many spots, you know.
Personally, and this is, with the hindsight of 9 years as a comic, I can look back at myself starting and seeing that I've always been kind of an all-comedy guy. So, I like being in clubs. I like working in clubs. But I don't think that ever was going to be my way forward anyhow. So, also on top of that, I lived in Columbus. I had a family and I had a mortgage before I ever started doing comedy. So relocating was never going to be an option. So with those things in mind, I really do like Columbus and then the way things have worked out. And just the fact there are so many bar shows here. There's so many other places that we can run shows. And it's created kind of like an underground, like a groundswell scene that's just constantly in motion. There's always ways. Ups and downs, and there's shows, you know, starting and ending all the time. But it's kept things very interesting, and the people who are able to exist in different formats and different shows and entertain different crowds really have risen to the top, and those are people who have the longevity and stick around for a while and become known.
So are you saying that, like, guys that kind of claw their way up in just the club, like, they aren't the known guys out of Columbus?
Not necessarily so, no.
No, I would say locally, kind of. Like,
it doesn't count that way, just because, I mean, like, a lot of the club guys do come out. You know, there's not, like, a... they're not like clique scenes where, you know, like it's the club guys and the alt guys. You know, we're not like, you know, doing dance battles in the streets and doing our hair different and shit. Like it's all intertwined and stuff. And I do, you know, get some work at the club occasionally, but it's not particularly often.
For the most part, it's because the Funny Bone has a lot of, they're not from Columbus.
Correct.
As far as like the crowd, you know, them drawing crowds in Columbus, so it's a whole different, and it's a different part of town.
So that, you know, I'm sure it's the same at any club, but just that there is only one club in a big city. The competition to be that local guy that's opening for the national act is pretty fierce, and they have a good stable of comics there already, and they have for a while.
Yeah,
we're. There's some upward mobility at the clubs around here, but you know, that's a secret. Because yeah.
Anyone could do it, but they don't want anyone to know. And it's, I mean, it's two different clubs here, but it's basically like an urban club and a white.
I would call it, I mean, that's a good way to put it. I'm going to call it white. Hilarities is just a big national act, and then, you know, the improv is like, well, we got to make sure we're eating too. So I think they've evolved to be, because the improv isn't necessarily an urban club, but it's a chain. But here it is. They book some of you guys. Pauly Shore.
Yeah. Just fill an open spot in the market.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the people that I work with mostly go to the improv, and it's because they can see who they like. So it's just what it is. But also, it's weird going to the flats sometimes, just because paying for parking and, like, all the, it's,
it's a big city out there.
Yeah. I always hate for parking.
Thanks, Tabitha.
No, I fucking hate it, but that's, I don't know, I don't like paying for anything. Of course. So, how have you been able to balance, like, having a mortgage and, like, a big boy job with still managing to get out enough to keep this interesting and, you know, actually make some progress in your comedy career?
Well, fun fact, I don't actually have a big boy job. I've been a stay-at-home dad the entire time I've been a comedian.
Well...
Yeah, so it gives
you hit that honeypot, dude. Nice, congrats.
I cook a lot. I do. I don't want to toot my horn about cleaning because you might come over to my house and see I'm a liar. But no, I mean, I do. I take care of the family, take care of shit around home. But it affords me a lot of time to, you know, write and think about what I'm going to do that night. There's a lot of nights now that I don't go out that I, you know, could be out grinding, but I'll just stay home with the family kind of thing. So that require a little bit of parts, but yeah. I'm able to make it work.
Hell yeah.
So it's, you don't have to, like, give the wife, like, a night, like, at the last minute, and things like that. Because that's one thing I remember about when I was stay-at-home person. You know, it was like I still wouldn't be able to go out all the time because, yeah, even though I was home all day, like, now it's her turn to chill out.
I do her chances to go out. It with, like, a comedy show, like, I'll also work at night too, when I'm doing concert security. So anytime I would be out at night, I try to in advance put out, we have, like, a shared Google Calendar that we share everything that way. There are nights that I'm doing anything. A lot of the stay home with the kids, so she can go out and do whatever she wants to do.
Right on.
Here's a fun Nick Glasser fact. Nick pays some bills selling it's some type of anime cards. I can't remember specifically. Is it Yu-Gi-Oh?
It's Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z cards online.
That's so cool.
I've been in that since I was in high school, and the game in 2005, and then I bought in collections, like, because some of these cards are really worth a lot. And back in 2000, and I think 2015, they completed the game. Back, got on as a playtester, so I was working for the company for a few years too. But there's still a market out there for these cards. So every now and then, like, somebody's collecting, and then I sell the cards that I don't need, and I can make a pretty good profit doing that.
Yeah, you fucking nerds, man. You guys, I got all these Michael Jordan cards, and they're just like, I might as well just put them in the bike that I don't ride now because they're not worth shit. But now you got a fucking Shivan Dragon that's worth fucking $70, and you got 30 of them. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
That is an old school Magic the Gathering reference.
I was into it for a little bit, and then I started getting laid, so I quit.
There's some kind of chicken egg question to be
had. I fucking peaked early. I peaked in fucking, what, 8th grade? Freshman year? I was white trash. I was getting all my pussy then, and then they realized, like, you know. Oh, yeah, people have bigger dicks. They're not all one size. And done.
Man. That shit's fun, though. I mean, you go out on a weekend, play a big tournament with a bunch of people, trade cards, back sell the shit.
Yeah, now that I'm married, I'd be totally down, but, you know.
Like Paul Rudd in This Is 40 when he's lying to his wife so he can go to fantasy baseball.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know too much else. I think we got enough embarrassing shit about Nick. I don't know.
I'm not embarrassed for him yet.
No, yeah. Because all I know is your grandpa died. I mean, that happens to everybody because that's all that I've heard so far. And, you know, so.
Have you ever gotten your ass kicked while you're working security?
I mean.
Not even when you were dressed like Kesha?
I wasn't working when I was dressed like that. That was me just there, like, you know, like as a fan. It's like, no, they're probably my ass. That's the thing, like, because I mean, I have a bunch of other people who are all sober about what we're doing and shit. So, like, yeah, some people will, you know, get drunk, get, you know, shit, but they're never, like, in a group of just people, what they're doing. It's never gotten bad in that way.
Never, man. No. Well, I mean, what kind of shows are you running at that bar? I mean, you don't have any like rowdy and dirty nonsense happening, or
it's on the show. I mean, it's sort of a 1500-seater seat, so it's like 1500 people there, all different kinds of stuff.
You should do an open mic in the bomb shelter that you're calling from. You're cutting off. I think you said it's the short north. Everybody in Columbus is pussies, but that's like the fucking center of it. So that's kind of what I gathered from that broken text for all the listeners, Chris Klim. Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
That sounds exactly right.
Good.
So, Nick, how on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you going into the last round?
About a 7. Maybe an 8.
Oh, shit.
It's hard to put the scale too far towards a 10 against people that I largely don't know much about and haven't seen anything that they can do. But this is a situation that I feel comfortable in. I feel like I know what, you know, plan. I feel good about it.
Well, we look forward to seeing what happens. More of a passive voice there so that I'm not invested in what's going to happen. But if you do take that belt down to Columbus, I'm coming for it. So.
I look forward to defending it against you.
Word. Appreciate it. All right, Nick, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Be blessed. Can't wait to eat some corned beef with you, bro.
Hell yeah.
All right, dude.
See you. Take care.
Yeah, say goodbye to Chris and all. That's fucking hilarious. Bye.
Nick Glasser, everybody. We will be back in a week. Sometime this week.
Yeah, we got to what? Wrap up the.
We have to unpack this this tournament when it's over.
Yeah, so we'll be back with the fucking results, bruh.
Yeah, but don't wait for that show. Come on out and see us at Hatfield's Good Grub.
Saturday, January 18th, 9 p.m. It's in West Park. Prior to the Ad Hominem Attack show, there will be a stand-up show hosted by Spider Jones with Gab Bonesso from Pittsburgh, who is a fellow bipolar person, and she's been voted best comic in Pittsburgh a couple of times. So
Gab is hilarious.
Yeah, I've seen Gab a few times. She's great.
Well, I'll probably be there hanging out then. So
yeah, it's you know, it's a good night to catch a double feature, if you will.
Yes, and improv. get your tickets at brokendrift.com. Please get tickets if you're coming out ahead of time. Just makes things easier for everyone. And
you live over there, Tab?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tab T, you're still here.
We stopped talking about corned beef, and the wheel kept going only on corned beef, and everything else just it was just white noise.
She's over there watching tasty videos with the captions on.
Yep, just watching them. I'm watching the whole process. They're brining right now.
It's a good thing you have an Irish boy.
That'll do, pigs.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.